Good morning. Welcome, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers here this morning. A couple of announcements. The collection today is for the Western Mission. Are there any other announcements?
I'm leaving Hampstead next week, and I know Braden and Christina's kids are going to come and sing. If any other children want to come, or if they got musical numbers, the chaplain, Jerry, has been doing a little part of the hymn-sing, and the residents just love it. But he's not going to be there, so if anybody wants to come, 2 o'clock, and I know Raiden and Christina's kids are coming.
That's on Thursday.
That's Thursday the 19th. Yes.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Thanks, Janet.
Okay.
All the kids, they love it.
Yeah, it means the world to them. Yeah, so anyway.
Any other announcements? Bible study next Friday at 7 p.m. Next Sunday, last Sunday school at 10 o'clock in adult Bible study, and worship service at 11. Any prayer requests? Flint will read the psalm today, and Tom will give us the message and say the prayer. We'll begin.
The psalm reading for today is Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, thy works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Happy Father's Day to all fathers, and what a great day that is to have a Heavenly Father that makes us children of a King. Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you humbly, as we look to you for all things. You've offered us the grace and mercy and peace of God through your Son. You've given us faith to believe in the work of the cross, salvation through the Son that died and paid for the sins of the world. You've given us rebirth, the new man who has dominion over the old man, the flesh, and the devil. You've granted us salvations and given us joint heirship. So we have a home, a palace that is being built in heaven. Can we but thank you in a way that would actually bring you glory? Can we even pray a prayer that will hit the mark? Father, we are so humble to be in your presence. We are so thankful. We are in awe of you. You have taken your sons and daughters in Christ and allowed them to be broken, lowly, and contrite so grace may enter a heart and faith begin and hope is so evident. You've given us the bride of Christ where we can go and worship and sing hymns and songs and praise you. You've given us a country where temporarily we can worship free because we have had forefathers and fathers fight for liberty in Christ. We have fellowship, kindred spirits. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. We have good conversation about your word, about how beautiful it is. You have been given leadership in your word, understanding that your word is to be magnified above your name. We have an understanding that the life of your Son is the truth and the way. We have a longing for you, Jesus, to come again. But not quickly, for selfish reasons. But so that everyone that is called before the foundation of the world will be born, sealed, and saved, so that you may come. When the last saint will believe, when the trump will call, will sound, we know you will be there. The skies will break forward. You will come down. We will meet you in the clouds. You will defeat everything that is evil. We will be raised up in a home. We will have a room where the Son will be glorifying you, where the Spirit will be there, where the light of the Father will shine, where the saints will be just in permanent glee of the fact that there is no sorrow, there is no tear, there is just the ability to be thankful that we are there. Father, on this day, we really worship you, as our fathers are flawed. We are thankful for our fathers. We are thankful for fathers that have faith and taught us faith. We are thankful for fathers that are still around. And we are thankful for fathers that have gone to glory. Father, we are so thankful that you constantly show us your mercies daily. They are new every morning. We are thankful that you are conforming us to the image of your Son through sanctification. We are thankful that you taught us to pray the perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue. Terry, if you could dim these lights, it'd be good, just a little bit. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be granted to you through that Holy Spirit that indwells in our hearts this day and hour of worship. Turn our Bibles to Psalm 30. That's what we'll be looking at today is Psalm 30. And before I do that, I guess we should maybe reflect, and I'm sure many of you have reflected today, being the tradition of the day is Father's Day, and I'm sure many of you have gotten texts today from family and friends, from uncles and aunts saying, Happy Father's Day. And many of you have fathers. And many of you don't. And when we think about it and we reflect on our dads or our fathers, we have fond memories and we have memories maybe that aren't so fond. We've been disciplined and we've been encouraged. And all these things has a purpose, and all these things are good to reflect on a day like today. My first thought was, as I woke up this morning, bugs like water too, I guess. That was not what I was reflecting, but my dad. I was thinking about what day did he honor or respect the most? And it's kind of strange, but me and my brother would get up on Saturday morning when normally we would sit in and watch The Lone Ranger and all those shows that were on, and we would shine his shoes. It's kind of strange. People are wondering, what day is this? It was Remembrance Day. They were celebrating it on Remembrance Day, and it was a Sunday. And Remembrance Day for Canada is basically celebrating the veterans that have gone on, and many died in all wars. At that time, Vietnam War wasn't really celebrated. It was kind of, in the early 70s, it was kind of not really a war that was meant to be celebrated. It was kind of, there was some propaganda against it, I guess. But World War I and II were celebrated, and veterans were celebrated. And we would shine Dad's shoes, and Mom would iron his clothes. And Dad had a case that he would open up, and he'd put up his medals. And they would celebrate Remembrance Day. Parade would happen. You'd march. They'd be greeting. They'd be saluting everybody. You'd have 6 shots fired, and the day was done. And you think, wow, what a day to celebrate. But for Dad, that was the day. Father's Day was not a day to celebrate. He wasn't one to, maybe he had regrets. But that day he celebrated. And you think about World War II, and you think about the change in temperature and the change that did, and what happened then, and how Hitler was defeated, and basically conquered, and evil was conquered for a day. Right? For a day. And we have a world today that, if you look at our country, Canada, and maybe the U.S., we have many different things happening for the idea of multiculturalism. I'm not going to be political, but the influences of different religions in our country probably hasn't created more Christianity. It's probably created less. And I think of many that you look at Remembrance Day and you say, well, it's not even probably celebrated like it used to be. It's kind of like put in the back. And that was my reflection this morning. I was thinking of Dad, what day did he celebrate the most? And in thinking about that, you think about our Heavenly Father, and you think about texts and certain texts to look at. And for some reason this week, the text of 30, David praises for his deliverance, basically is the text that was chosen. And we'll read it and we'll expound on it. And God willing, through his Spirit, we can we can understand it and it can be delivered in a way that hits the mark individually for each person here. So let's read that in Jesus' name. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down into the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountains to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. David here is praying for deliverance. And it could be from his enemies. It could be from sufferings. It could be from shame. It could be from sin. It could be from guilt, frustration, pain, disappointment. But there's a process where God allows us to be broken, lowly, and contrite so grace can enter. And there's a process where we cry out to the Lord and he helps. And David is expounding on that in this text. He says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. How do we lift up Christ? How is Christ lifted up? What did he do for us? See, David is wanting help. But the first thing he does is he says, I'm going to extol the Lord, O Lord. Extol thee. For thou lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. In John chapter 12, Jesus is kind of giving us an idea of what he did. John 12, 23 to 32, it's some of the evidences of what God does. And what he's done for us. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. By Jesus dying on the cross, and our sins being put on him, and him receiving our sins, and us through the grace of God and through the faith of his Son, receiving those sins, and he's defeated sin, death, and the devil. And on Resurrection Sunday, he raises from the dead, and he imputes his righteousness, his 33 perfect years into us because we believe in this. We believe in this because he granted us faith to believe in it. We believe in it also because he allowed us to be broken, lowly, and contrite. So many, much fruit will be delivered out of this. Because Jesus was one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But we are the bride. There are many that will proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, by him dying and being resurrected. It says in his, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life, unto life eternal." You love your life if the love of your life is this world, the flesh, the influences of the world. You will lose your life. What he's saying is, he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. The Christian has eternal thoughts, eternal prayers, the future in heaven. This life is but a vapor. It's very, very short. But eternity goes forever. The purpose is to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected. The purpose is to understand that when we move on to the eternal life, we will have a perfect world, a perfect place, a perfect leader, and no fallenness. We'll understand that life goes on forever. And he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall he be my servant or slave. And he will serve me. Him will my Father honor. Why? Because you're sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For but this cause I came into this hour. Jesus is reflecting on what he has to do at the cross. And he says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, the angel spake unto him. Jesus answered and said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of the world, of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So the prince of the world being bound, cast out, defeated because of the work of the cross. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Who is he drawing unto him? The saints. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Obviously, it's Jesus Christ. He's the Son of Man. So we have here, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. David is not going to be defeated. And he's still going to live. He was concerned about his life. There's still purpose for him. There was still things that he had to do in this world. There was still influences that he had to share. The word of God was still part of his being. God wasn't going to allow his enemies to defeat him. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. There's not a true Bible-believing Christian in this room or in this world that has not cried out to God. Because when your heart is broken, lowly, and contrite, you have nowhere to turn. The first person and in situations where you're broken, lowly, and contrite, or you're fearful of your life, or you're fearful of what's going to happen to you, you cry out to God. In Psalm 34, it kind of gives us the picture of this. In verse 17, it says, the righteous cry. Righteous. Who are the righteous? The ones who believe in the work of the cross. The ones that have that imputed righteousness into them. And the Lord heareth the righteous and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh or near unto them that are broken of heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. It's very important here because God has allowed somebody to have a broken and contrite spirit so that grace may enter and faith may begin. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. No one of them is broken. Why is not a bone broken? Because the Christian stands in the word of the Lord, stands in the gospel, stands in the truth, and does not waver. Because he is confident in the Savior, he is confident in the works of the cross, he is confident that God will keep him moving forward in his kingdom. It's not him that's walking, it's God that's delivering. So we have a Lord that allows us to cry out and to heal. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, and thou hast kept me alive, that I should go down not into the pit. You're still going to live. You're not going to die. Psalm 116 kind of adds to this. Verses 8 to 13, it says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken." Listen to that. "I believed, therefore have I spoken." Because you believed. "I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Rejoice in the Lord. That's what it's saying. Rejoice in the Lord. What does the Philippians say? Chapter 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say, and again I say, rejoice." Do you have joy and delight in the Lord? That's what he's saying. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. I can do all things, but not all things are expedient to me." You have moderation. "The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." You pray, you have supplication, you're thankful. And who do you go to? You turn to God. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Keep your hearts and minds through Christ. The heart that's been changed from stone to flesh. The mind that's been renewed by the Word of God and by that Holy Spirit. "For his anger, God's anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping many endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." God is not angry for the Christian for an extended period of time. It's very short. And it's to convict. Don't misunderstand. It's never to condemn. If you feel condemned, it's not the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you. It's to convict. Because you have done something, you've missed the mark, and you've gone a different way. So when he says his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor or his grace is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalm 103 kind of has something to add to this. And the reason why I'm going through the references is scripture proves scripture. It's important to find it other places so that we reaffirm what David is saying in other places. Psalm 103:8-10. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. God didn't have to give you breath to live today. But he did. You're here. You have a purpose in this world. You have a function. You have a... You're part of the bride of Christ. You're here to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news that your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. You are a brother of Christ and son of God, daughter of God and sister to Christ. For his anger endured but for a moment, his favor is life. Weeping many may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. My mercies are new every day. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, God is saying. Not the thoughts that you think towards yourself. He's saying, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, the peace that passeth understanding. And not of evil, to give you an expected end. What's the expected end? Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Heaven. We're heaven bound because of the work of the cross. Lord, by thy favor, by thy grace, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. How do we stand strong? How do we know that we're to stand? What are we standing in? What's keeping us standing? The solos of grace. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. The solas of grace, by grace alone, through faith alone, by the power of Christ alone, by Scripture alone, God be given the glory alone. Those are the solas of grace. Again, he cries, I cried out to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. How many people here have cried out to God, and how many people here have received an answer to their prayer? What's the history? Ninth verse says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? What's David saying here? If I die, what good am I? If I'm alive, I can praise thee. He was worried about his life here. At the same time, he is but dust. And God is going to allow him to live longer because he has mighty works to do in God's name and through that spirit and through that influence. What profit is there in my blood? What profit is there in Christ's blood? Everything. The blood of Christ is shed abroad. The bread of life. So shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Well, while I'm alive, I will. For sure. And when I go into heaven, definitely it will continue for eternity. Because you have the faith of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. And you have a Father that saves. A Son that has put away your sin and removed it. And a Holy Spirit that guides and directs. An unbeatable force. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be my helper. This is a prayer. David is praying here. Is it familiar to you? Luke chapter 18. Verse 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. We pray because we understand we're sinners. We cry out to God because we understand we do not hit the mark every time. God is merciful because he hears our prayers, because we are righteous in the work of the cross. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. How do you humble yourself? That's a good question. You don't. God does. Through his grace, through his mercy, through his peace, through his Son, through his Spirit. He humbles you. He allows you to be broken, lowly, and contrite. You will notice somebody that is self-righteous is not broken, lowly, and contrite. Can grace enter in? No. They got it handled. They're going to pick up their own bootstraps and do their thing. Grace enters a heart that's broken, lowly, and contrite. The greatest miracle is to take a sinner and make him into a saint. Take him out of darkness and bring him into his magnificent light. God does that. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. We have life only in Christ. Only in Christ. John chapter 9. Oh, sorry, John chapter 10. Verse 9 and 10. This is the good shepherd. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Speaking of Christ, he gave his life for us. We are going to have life more abundantly because we go in and out and find pasture. food, sustenance, the Word of God. The only reason why you open up this book is because God has given you the desire to do so. The only reason why you eat and partake of the bread of this book, the Word of God, is because God has given you the ability to discern it. The desire to do it, the desire to discern it, the desire to apply it all comes from God. And the reason why you do that is because you are His. And He will keep you till the end. To the end, that my glory may sing praise to Thee, and not to be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Are we giving thanks forever? Romans chapter 8. Verses 14 to 17. For as many are as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, daughters of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. We have received the spirit of liberty, in which we are free. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There's a reverence here. He's our Holy Father, God. He's our all in all. We are adopted. We are brothers and sisters to Christ. The Spirit itself bear it with us, with our spirit. When you read the Word of God, it bears witness to you and you receive it as truth. It is 100% true. It has zero... There's zero faults. There's nothing wrong with Scripture at all. It's perfect, holy, and true. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. I'll close with chapter 17 of the high priestly prayer of John. Chapter 17, verses 24. This whole chapter, Jesus is asking God to help him be glorified unto the Father, to have the glory he had before he was brought into the world. And then he exercises his will in chapter 24. Father, I will. He's speaking about us. He's already talked about the 11 disciples and the son of perdition. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me before the foundation of the world, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these, us, have known thee that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me, the love of the Father to the love of the Son, has been declared to us, may be in them. We have it. It's secure. And I in them, Christ in us. This is the prayer, the high priestly prayer. Jesus the Son is decreeing this for us. It's a beautiful picture. So how cannot David be confident in Psalm 30 that when we cry out to God, He hears our prayers? Why? Because we're righteous in the work of the cross. Why? Because we've been sealed unto the day of redemption. Why? Because we're sons of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because we're joint heirs. He is bringing us a home in heaven, which we deserve no part of. but because his grace and mercy and his love towards us is so great, he will grant this to us one day in eternity future. Oh, how gracious and great this God is. We should be so thankful to receive it. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee, be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 371.